Hello, everyone. We're going to get started. We are going to coach. Well, my hair looked, I will just tell everybody, my hair looked way more fabulous earlier today. It's kind of falling apart now. Sorry about that. Oh, it was, I was trying to look like sporty and cute today. And then, like, it just, I don't know if y'all do this, but I only wash my hair like, well, and now I've like really jacked it because I can't tell. Like the mirror is all, you know how like you're, well, you don't know. But anyway, I don't wash my hair every day. And so I do that on purpose so that, you know, I'm a blonde and so I bleach it and all this other stuff. So I want it to kind of stay moisturized. Anyway, it's gotten greasier as the day's gone on. This is, I actually didn't wash it yesterday. I normally just fix it on that day. And then today I thought, I'm going to try to go an extra day and I'm going to wear a headband and I'm going to look like Sporty Spice and all this other shit. And all it's done is gotten greasy. All right. We're going to do some coaching tonight. Tonight's topic is, so make sure that when you want to get coached, it is around being a mother at home with your kids. This is the mom's call for all of you who are at home with your kids, possibly not used to being at home with your kids, and things that are going on with you and the kids. So the other thing, now you can, it can be like I'm eating because of all of it. That's fine. But I want it to be topical about kids. All of you, I do want to let you know that I'm not sure what time it is. I don't know who my coach is tonight. Who's the coach that's here today? Will somebody let me know? I never found out from Kathy what time, 11 a.m. tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time, inside our Facebook group, we have a special guest coming in. Her name is Lisa, and she is from the Peaceful Parent. Is it Peaceful? It's Peaceful Parent, I believe. And she, so she's been a member for a while now. She's in an accountability group called Grown Ass Women. And she happens to be the Peaceful Parent. Yeah. She happens to be a coach also that specializes in like just how to deal with your kids. So she's going to do a Facebook Live and we're going to send you an email out tonight that has a workbook that she wants all of us to have. And she's going to teach us all about, like, you know, when your kids are screaming and yelling and doing all the things, like why, and well, like kind of like how to deal with it and stuff. So, when all this stuff started coming up, we were talking about doing some stuff for moms and everything. And I can't remember if Lisa reached out to us or if we reached out to Lisa. I'm not 100% sure. Like I've talked to Lisa for a long time and just, she's a great person. I love her to death. And, but Kathy can tell us in the comments how we actually got all that together. But, I'm always looking for anyone in the tribe. If you guys, she offered, yes, okay, about all of this stuff. So, yes, she offered. And I'm actually on her mailing list, and I love all her stuff. So this is a real gift to all of us. One of the things I do try to do is I like to use the resources that we have within our group. We have so many of you who do amazing things. You guys often give us ideas. You offer your, like, a service like this, like saying, I could do a live, I could teach this. You know, Jill Angie is in our group. She has done so many things with us in the past on running and getting women of all size into fitness and stuff like that. So we actually have some amazing people inside our membership that, you know, every now and then they just say, like, hey, like, I'm seeing y'all deal with this. Do you want me to help or whatever? So I always try to boost other women up as much as I can. All right, let's talk about kids. Let's call on Merle. You're up first. If you want to get coached, just raise your hand. If you are brand new, this is a coaching call. So people are raising their hand to come on live screen with me. We cannot see you. We cannot hear you. So you will just, like, if you want to get coached, you raise your hand and then I bring you on screen. We do all the things. You just need to make sure you're in a room with good light, that you're seated. I get cautious. I get real car sick. So make sure that you aren't moving around or I'll throw up on the thing. So let's try it again. For some reason, it didn't promote you. Hang on. Oops. All right. There we go. Hey.
Oh, my God.
I know you've asked like 4 jillion questions, and I'm just like, oh, I am calling on her. Her hand is up. It's all it, because like I feel like we talk all the time, and yet we've never actually met.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let me just let the nerves go through. Okay. So yes, I know we spoke all the time, but I feel like when I saw that you were doing, first of all, thank you for everything. I'm going to cry. I'm already going to cry. Okay. And second of all, I just like what you've been doing in the tribe the past couple of weeks have totally like made me like want to change. I was like, you know, passive action and everything. Mm-hmm. But after hearing you, and I was like, that's it. I'm not giving up for myself. And if I can get through this time, then I can do anything. That means I can just throw out all my excuses of the holidays, the kids, Shabbat, blah, blah, blah. Everything I have.
That is the truth. That's what I keep telling people. I'm like, we learn how to lose weight now. We're going to like never have another problem ever again. So what can I help you with?
I want to work on, I blame my kids for all my overeating this whole year. I snap at them all the time, and then I feel guilt, not all the time, but a couple of times a week, and then I feel guilty, and then they're sleeping and I deserve to eat. And then they are, the house is messy. Like even today, I'm on plan for 3 days in a row. Yeah. And I said, but I have these thoughts running in my head like, oh, they just can't listen. Or, oh my God, why is it so messy? All I'm doing is sweeping and cooking and cleaning and Zoom calling, and I have no time for myself. And those thoughts are great. I could manage it till about 5, 6, but I know that if I don't figure out how to think differently,
I'm going to eat. When you say, like, I can manage that until 5, do you really feel like all day long you're managing your thoughts? Or are you holding out until 5? Like, are you, like, I'm just not eating until 5. Right. But I'm letting my brain run wild all day long.
I feel like I'm white-knuckling my brain when it comes to, my kids.
So, what is it about your kids?
They don't. Oh, 10, 9, 2, 3 girls.
Okay. So 10, 9, and 2. All right. And what's going on with these kids in your brain?
In my brain, they don't know where the garbage is. They don't listen. They don't follow the schedule. Why can't they just listen to me?
Tell me this. Why can't they just listen to you?
they already expect me to snack. Why can't they just listen to me? I don't know, because they don't want them.
They're 10, 9, and 2. Let me ask you this. When you were 10, were you like, oh my God, where's my chores? I'm waiting. Like, can you just give me something to do? Like, but I don't want something fun. Give me housework, please.
No, I never listened.
Why do you think you never listened when you were 10?
Because I didn't want to do those things.
But like, think about it, like from a 10-year-old perspective, was it even in, like, I want you to think about all 10-year-olds. Is it even in their realm, like, of normal expectations that what you, how old are you?
36.
What's important to a 36-year-old woman is going to be important to a 10-year-old.
Well, I never thought about it like that.
Well, I think that's part of why you're white knuckling and stuff is that, and this is, I think, what happens with a lot of us as moms is like, we know how we want things done, and we can see that if the house was clean, like we know how much easier life would just be if everybody would chip in, and it would just be like, you know, little blue jays flying all around us. Like we're in Cinderella movie or something. But the problem is we have like all of that expectation in dreamland, thinking that a 10-year-old is supposed to just show up for that with a 36-year-old emotional mind. Mm. Like, what do you think your 10-year-old thinks about when it comes, like without your judgment, like if you were your daughter at 10 and you got a mom, like even if you're nice about it, you know, like, come on, we're going to all vacuum and put dishes in the dishwasher and it'll be great.
I don't even think that sounds good now for me, I guess, right? I mean, she's not going to be excited.
No.
She ignores me.
She's for sure going to ignore you. Because yeah. What you're asking her to do would be like me asking you to, like, hey, I think we're all going to go vegan tomorrow. You in? I know you really like, you know, all of these things, but God, let's not eat that anymore. This will be a great, you know, plan.
No.
No. But you're 36. You would probably tell me no in a nice way.
Right.
Until you got on an accountability group and said, I'm quitting this tribe. Prince flipped her wig. Everybody's got to be a vegan today. The problem is that adults don't think like children. They think like adults and want their children to think like adults. So then what happens is that when we don't take the time to have a perspective of our children, we drive ourselves insane thinking they're just doing it to us. They should be different. Like, you know, everybody should be happy about doing all this stuff. They shouldn't be so forgetful. They shouldn't be slobs. It's like they're 10.
They shouldn't argue.
Right. They shouldn't argue. Let me ask you this. How many times have you told yourself that after you snapped?
After I snap, I start getting all the guilty. And then, of course, food's there. So I just...
Yeah. The only reason why you're feeling guilty is because you have unrealistic expectations for everyone, including yourself. Like, you know, having some, like, just understanding. Like, it doesn't mean that you don't have to tell your children over and over again to do the dishes. I mean, I put Logan in charge of the dishwasher this weekend. Be frustrated, or I could just be like, good job. You got at least a fork in there. I think you left some. Go back. And then sometimes I do get pissed. Like the other day he walked in, and I don't even remember what he was doing, but like I was in the middle of something. And oops, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. We put my case back on. I never have my ringer on. It's like always shocking. So he comes in and I glare at him, and I could tell in that moment that, because my son is very sensitive, that I had wounded this baby duck. And I was just like, I can't talk right now. Like, I have to finish this. And in my mind, I'm like, I can't believe he came in. Doesn't he know the coronavirus is freaking everybody out and mommy is saving the world? And I did feel a little guilty after that. But then you know what I told myself? That's what moms do. Sometimes we run out of like compassion for everyone. And sometimes we flip out, and that's part of mothering too. Mothering is not about being perfect.
Right.
You don't need to feel guilty. Guilty is a wasted emotion on that moment.
That's so true. It's funny you say that, because I also put like that type of thinking into my plan.
Yeah.
So it like trickles into thinking how I do other things as well.
It's coming from that idea that somehow you're doing it wrong.
Yes.
I'm doing mothering wrong right now. I'm doing my food plan wrong by eating off of it. And it's like, if you can hold this idea of you're never doing it wrong, you're just figuring out, is it Merle? Am I even saying it right? Okay.
Yeah. You always say it right.
Okay. But like thinking about the idea of what if I'm never wrong? What if I'm just figuring it all out? And in this moment, this is the next thing I've got to figure out. Like, why are my kids bugging me a little bit more today than usual? Why am I overeating a little bit more in the afternoons? You know, it's probably because I just need to be checking how I'm operating in my mind all day. If you're spending the whole day just making yourself eat your plan and trying to make your kids do what you want them to do and act the way that you want them to do and show up for it the way you want them to do, yeah, you're going to feel like shit by the end of the day.
Right.
So let me ask you this. How do you want your day to go when your kids are like, hell no? I'm sure they're not saying hell, but in my mind, everybody cusses, even 10-year-olds. So
they say hell. I want it to just go with ease. Like, I don't want it to be so, like, I don't want to be struggling in my head so much. And I don't want to get involved in some of their arguments. Let them play it out. They're not going to kill each other.
So do you ever just tell yourself that? It's time to let them play it out.
No.
Why not? Like, what about when you think, like, what honestly, is it every time you think,
I need to shut up?
That's what I said. You know what? You say what?
I say, can't they just shut up already? And then I just, like, break it up. That's, like, the first thought that comes to my head.
Yeah, well, then when that thought comes into your head, what do you want the next one to be? If you really want ease in that moment, what do you want the next thought to be? Because that thought's going to keep coming back.
Oh. I guess I would say they're just kids. No, that's not going to help me. I guess I could just say, let them argue it out. They are, that's what their age group does. I don't know, something like that.
I think that's some of the stuff, that's some of the, like, so this is really good. I'm really glad you're bringing this up because in the moment, I highly doubt that's going to work. But that is the, that's what we call perception work that we do away from all of that. So that's the kind of work I would do in the mornings, like thinking about, it's a really good exercise I have a few people doing, including myself right now, where you just every day, you think about this one thing that if you could just, if I could just fix this, like this line of thinking or this, whatever it is, what would it be? And I'm only going to focus on that. And because then my life would be better. And it sounds like for you, one thing that would make a lot of things easier for you is cleaning up how you think about your kids. Like if I could just not get annoyed by my kids all day long,
yeah,
I think I'd eat better. I would feel better. There, you know, there'd be all the things going on. And so each morning you wake up and you think about, do you make your plans in the morning?
Yes.
So I would just do this for like 2 solid weeks. How am I thinking about my kids right now for today? And you do the honest version. Like, I'm thinking that they should, like, get their damn chores done today, and they better not be arguing, or I'm going to end up eating all night long. Like, whatever those genuine thoughts are, you really want to have them on the paper so that your brain is on alert now. It's not like it catches you. Like, I don't even know what I was thinking. You'll know, because if you do this every morning, you'll get to where you can hear it in live time. They'll start arguing, and in your brain, it's like, what the fuck? Can't they just have 5 minutes where it's peaceful? Like, you'll hear yourself say it in your head, and then you will have in your arsenal the second half of the exercise, which is, how do I want to think about my kids today? And so you look at your list, and like, if one of the things is that I want them to like not fight all day long, but how do I want to think today? Because they're probably going to be fighting. So how do I want to think about them? That they're just kids. This is part of mothering. Not all of it's fun.
Right.
Rather than they shouldn't, and you need to stop in order for me to feel better.
Right.
Like, they don't need to stop in order for you to feel better, but you don't have to feel so shitty about it either, you know, but doing that for a couple of weeks of late, just draw a line down, like in that blue box, just a little line, and just like how I'm thinking about my kids today, how I want to think about my kids today. And that way you have that practice. But I would just think, like, I think you need a go-to thought for yourself in general about you as a mom. And I think it's got to be, it takes the guilt away, because you're probably still going to yell at your kids. If you're a normal mother, you're going to yell at your kids. The only moms I know that don't yell at their kids are the ones who are eating in the closet. I'm in the closet with a snack. It's all that, I'm not yelling at you.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, and now that I want to face it, because the bus ain't coming for a while.
Right. So right now is a really good opportunity. Like, I don't even think it's a good opportunity. You love your kids, don't you?
Yes.
It's time to fall in love with you as a mother.
That's the, yes. Wow. No, I'm not in love with myself right now.
And that's what you need to work on. I think you start with your kids. Because if that, yeah. if that's the, like, you're going to have so many good reps. Them kids are going to argue and fuck the house up so much the next few weeks. Like, you're going to have plenty of practice to fall in love with yourself as a mother.
And those are, like, my biggest excuses for going. Like, I have a bad, I don't know, my accountability group. First of all, everyone should get one because they make me make a plan every single day, one-way compass. So I have so much assessing. And if I look back, all I kept seeing was my kids, my kids, my kids. I'm eating because they're finally sleeping. Everything has been about the kids. I have all this data. And I'm like, what? Then I started hearing Kathy's relationship. And I'm like, no. Then all this happened. And I said, oh, if I want to change, I better look inward because...
Yeah.
The bus is not coming. Nothing right. else is happening.
And telling yourself the truth right now. It's like it was never the kids doing it.
No.
It was just always me not managing my mind around right. the kids. It was me deciding to eat because I spent all day long just letting my old mother programming play. And then once you fix that part, all you have to do is break the habit of the eating. And a lot of us don't really have the, like, you know, like for me, when I'm not stressed and stuff, I don't really have like, I don't have urges. I don't have desires. And if I do, they're very manageable because I haven't been stressing myself out all day long. I'm just like, no, we're not having that. Are you kidding? Like, I know you're like thinking it looks good, but like I have the energy for dealing with it. You don't have the energy.
Right.
You've spent all day long wasting it all over here, you know.
Because I'm living in what I'm focusing on what I'm doing wrong. Because overall, I'm a great mom.
Well, why don't you talk to yourself about how great you are and find out, like, this is a really interesting mind bender for a lot of moms. When you're yelling at your kids, how is that being a great mom too?
Well, I want them to do what's right.
Yeah. You have good motives.
Right.
What else? How is it great that you yell at your kids sometimes?
I don't know. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but why is it great?
What is it? What makes you a great mom? A great mom who also yells at her kids?
Well, I always make sure that they are clean. Always have.
I don't want you to think about it, but you're yelling. No, like, we're talking about, like, I am a great mom who yells at her kids.
Because, no, I am a great mom because I teach my daughters the thought work. Yeah. I teach them, I taught them the model.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Sometimes when you yell, it's a really good opportunity to tell them, like, you know what? I yelled because I didn't, like, check my brain.
I teach them how to cope with their emotions. Yeah. I was never taught that. So yeah. I want to give them a better shot at life instead of turning.
When you're yelling, you're also showing them that we don't always have, like, total control of our emotions and it's still okay and we still love ourselves and we still love each other.
I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah, you're too busy beating yourself up over it. We got to stop doing that.
Right. Oh, wow. That was good. You're right. Yep.
The moment you stop beating yourself up, guys, is the moment your brain can explode on how to start thinking about things in ways that shift your perspective. Just like even in your, like, in your moments when you're yelling, even when you overeat, it's like, what is it about this overeat that I'm supposed to be learning about myself right now? Like, if I wasn't sitting around judging myself over it, and I was just sitting there thinking, like, I definitely chose to eat for a reason. I just want to know the reason now.
Right.
Skip all the judgment.
Yeah.
It does make for a boring life, I will tell you. A lot of you like drama, and I'll just say, sometimes when you take all that judgment out, you're like, man, life's a snooze fest over here. It's like, yeah.
I'll take boring. Exactly. I want to be more boring.
Yeah, because when we get to boring, guess what we get to start doing? Putting in the real excitement. The excitement right. of loving ourselves. this excitement of learning, the excitement of being able to challenge ourselves and handle some failure as we keep going. But if all of the excitement is coming from judgment and beating ourselves up, it's exciting. It's a great story when you tell it out loud, except nobody wants to live your life. You want to be able to tell the story of your life and everybody's like, I want a piece of that. Okay.
Yes.
All right. You have homework. Your homework's good and simple.
I can't wait to watch this again tomorrow so I can write everything. But yeah, thank you so much. Thanks so much.
All righty, bye.
Okay, bye.
For all my newbies, I'm like this. Like you guys will ask me like a ton of questions. Like I've seen her on so many lives, so many like coaching calls. She's dedicated. Like she wants to work on herself. And I can always tell because I will see this one name and it's like, explain this, tell me about this. Like I'm having trouble with it. But she's always putting herself out there. And so it's just exciting when I finally get to talk to them. Marcy.
Video?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, hey. I didn't think I'd be so early. Okay, I'm walking because I had to get out of the house for my kids. So I'm going to stop because I know you'll get sick.
Well, I was going to say, do you want me calling you next, like give you time to get back home?
No, it's totally fine.
Okay.
It's awesome. Hey. Okay, so this is only my second coaching call. But, okay, so I just listened to the previous call and everything was like, amen. What I'm struggling with is that I have a 4-year-old at home and an 8-year-old and I work for myself. And what I've ended up doing is working all night. So I get like half-ass working during the day because all I'm doing is running after them, sort of yelling at them with love, trying to get them to concentrate on like some schoolwork or eating lunch or something. And then I'm running and checking emails. And then I end up from 8 o'clock until like 1 a.m. working every night. And I feel bad about all of it. I feel like I'm not doing a great job for my clients. I feel like I'm not doing a great job for them, even though I know I'm a good mom and I'm balancing a million things. And we're all kind of thrown into this situation. I'm trying to figure it out, you know? So I'm like, I feel like I'm giving myself grace, but I also just don't feel like I'm doing a very good job.
So why are you doing a good job? Other than describing it terribly, like, you know, I'm half-assing it during the day.
No, I know. As I said it, I was like, I'm going to get shit for this. I mean, I think because, so my 4-year-old is, he's not special needs, but he has very high, I would say he's high needs.
Okay.
And he is obsessively attached to his brother and his brother doesn't want anything to do with him. I'm trying to get his brother to get online and they're doing online learning and all this stuff. And so I'm trying to do the best job I can for them and the best job at work. And to me, those things just don't really go together, you know? And so
your brain is really sold on the idea that you think the best job and the best parenting, like there's actually like, I'm guessing there's some rule somewhere.
Yeah, totally.
The best job is made up in your head, correct?
Well, I guess the best job is when they used to go to school and someone else taught them. And I felt like I'm doing the best job because I'm doing the best job during the day.
That was your thought, though. I want you to, you're going to have to hang with me on this one.
Okay.
Everything you're thinking is what you think the best job is. The best thing would be is that they're at school. The best thing would be if I was working like this. That would be the best thing.
Yes.
That's a thought.
Is it? It seems like.
You know how I know? How does it feel when you think the best thing is for them to be at school?
I mean, it feels like a pipe dream because it's not possible. School's closed.
So. Then I know it's only your thought. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
My kids can't have the best thing right now. How does that feel?
It feels shitty.
Yeah. That's also how we know this best thing theory is terrible for you.
Okay.
Because you keep saying, I know what the best thing is and we can't have that.
Yeah.
That's why we know this thought is just not going to help you. Your brain is going to have to go to work on, we're going to have to make this the best thing. Otherwise, it's going to be a hard fucking few months.
Oh, God, don't say few.
Don't they, like, have summer coming up? I don't know why everybody thinks, like,
we have summer camp.
Summer. We got to figure that shit out, too, y'all. Everybody.
Summer. I guess I'm holding hope that summer camp is happening. I just keep hoping.
Let me tell you what's going to happen.
Oh, no.
The same drama we all had last year. When the kids got out of school, this is what everybody says. So hard to lose weight when they're in school. That's the best thing. It's so much harder when they're at home. We have no routines in the summer. And all I want to do is drink and have a good time. The weather's nice. Everybody complained last summer. Everybody complained on coronavirus. 6 weeks ago, were you sitting around describing, oh my God, the kids are in school is the best thing.
My job is
the best thing. Yeah, and right now you're telling me all that shit was perfect.
Well, it seems like it now. It seems so easy.
So, all right, so you just nailed your own coffin.
Yes. No, totally.
Because the only reason why the best thing was the best thing then is because you've had a thought change about it now. Because back then, it was a bunch of shit.
No, you're right. You're totally right.
So that's the reason why I'm saying all this to you, Marcy. And I'm like not trying to make you think that the whole summer's ruined and that they're all gone.
I'm like, fuck me.
No. We can all hold out all, like, we can have our dreams of, you know, kids will get away from us again in the summer.
Yeah.
But what I'm really wanting you to do the work on is understanding that whatever situation you're in any given moment, you have to make the best of that.
Right.
There is no best thing. The more you think there's something better out there or that something should be this way, you feel terrible.
Yes.
And especially right now, because if the best thing is for them to be at school, you don't have that. You have no hope of feeling better for Marcy.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like a thought that's just not going to work. So let's think of a thought that can't. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, so what is the right thought? Like the thought that I put or most days, the thought that I'm trying to figure out now, because in 3 weeks I gained like 7 pounds with like the holidays again. And I'm like, this is not a vacation. This is not an excuse to drink every night. This is not an excuse to bake banana bread because the bananas are growing bad, which is what I was doing. I did that for 3 weeks. And then I told my accountability group, like, okay, so this is clearly, like, even if it was a week, it's still not okay. But this is going on for an extended period of time, and I'm not going to gain back the 45 pounds that I lost because of this. Like, I'm not doing that, right? So I always just say, I'm figuring it out. That's all I say over and over. Like, I'm figuring this out, right? So my thought right now is, like, you can figure this out. I know I'm a great mom. I'm an okay teacher. Like, we will survive. I just sometimes get lost in the idea that they are not getting what they need because of this situation. And so then it makes me want to somehow become like a superhuman.
Yeah, but let's discuss what they're not getting. What are they not getting right now? Tell me like all these things that they're not getting that's for sure. How old are these kids again?
8 and 4.
Yeah, 8 and 4. So when they're 40, they're going to be wrecked. Tell me what's going to happen in like your education skills in the next 6 weeks where, whoa, they're not getting what they're going to need.
Nothing. It's like, I know this, like my 4-year-old who really has like, he has like social skill problems. And all I can think about is that when he's with his friends at school, he's getting that socialization he needs. He's practicing it with his brother who wants nothing to do with him. Yeah. He is not getting any of that. And I can't be a 4-year-old friend for him to practice.
You know what he's getting from his brother? Lesson after lesson after lesson that his brother doesn't want to talk to him right now. And that sometimes in life, there will be people who won't want to talk to you. And he's going to figure out how to deal with that.
That's a really great point.
Let me tell you how I know this. I know it from personal experience with my son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine if I thought right now that Logan's life was going to be wrecked if he didn't get his social conditioning at school right now? That he's not getting the best for him right now.
Right.
You know what I keep telling myself? This is a really good opportunity for him to figure out how to be his own best friend. He doesn't get that very often at school because they make them socialize.
That is such a better thought. And that's so true. I hadn't even thought about that part at all. I just thought about the rejection.
You're too busy telling yourself that there's something better that should be happening.
I know, but why? That's crazy. I'm so glad I hopped on. That serves him and me so much better because I have seen these little glimpses in the last 2 weeks where I'm like, dang, he's playing by himself with these dinosaur toys and he sounds pretty okay. And I'm at my computer kind of working, but listening to him because I sort of, you know, want to be a fly on the wall and see what he's doing. And my husband's in the other room on the phone working. And, you know, it's all like, but I keep thinking like, oh, I wish I could jump in and play with him. Like I should be down there playing with him.
No.
And
this is when you tell yourself, you know what I should be doing? Exactly what I'm doing right now. Appreciating that he's learned how to play on his own.
Getting my
work done as best I can.
Yeah.
In every moment, I never tell myself I should be doing something. I always tell myself, no, you should be doing exactly what you're doing right now. And here's why.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you shut down that side. You allow your brain to have equal airtime.
Yeah.
To the best of what's going on for you. It doesn't mean that it all has to be rainbows and daisies, but like the only reason why I can see these things and you can't is because you have the judgment wrapped around. It's like bubble wrap all around your situation.
Right.
That you're not doing a good job. Like I'm half-assing here and I'm not a good teacher. And you just haven't, I would imagine you haven't done a lot of going to bat for yourself over all this.
Not really. I mean, I in the last week I'm trying much more. At first I was almost resolved. I almost like checked out for like 2 weeks. My accountability group, they kept going because they're newer than me and they had a lot of like, I don't know, stamina. And I was kind of like there halfway. But then I think just seeing the scale go up, you know, it's data and it's like something's not working. And I'm going to get this in check because 2 months, 3 months from now, I mean, who knows where I'll be, 20 pounds up. You know, I mean, like it happens fast because you just slip into this comfortable feeling of like, that wasn't so bad, you know, but it's like, I know what my goals are. I know what I'm working towards and I've been doing it for a year and I don't want to, and I know I can figure this out. I couldn't figure out how to get past this idea that I'm not doing what I need to for my kids, which just felt crappy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to think about it this way. If I decide right now that I'm doing what I need for my kids, it would be because of these things. Like make a list of, like I would do the same. Like I would honestly, if that's going to be your biggest pain point, then I would have, I'm going to mute you, your wind's blowing just so everybody can hear. But one of the things that I would do is each day, like here are all the things that I'm doing really well right now. Here's how I'm handling my kids' education. Here's how I'm handling my job. And I'm doing those things. You need to give yourself some evidence that things are going right. And that things are getting done and stuff. Otherwise, I think your brain is just trying to compare it to that whole, this is the way it should be. There's something better, blah, blah, blah. Rather than like, look, we're going to be here for the next few weeks doing online school. And here's how it's going to work and work well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just throwing yourself in the pity cave. And the next thing you know, you're making banana bread.
Right. Yeah. And I could justify making that banana bread so that my 17 cent banana doesn't go bad. Heaven forbid.
I was ridiculous. Telling my coach this morning, I said, let me just tell you what I thought yesterday. So I had opened some wine the other day for our little date night and I didn't drink all of it. And my first thought was I better plan wine because that shouldn't go to waste. And I was like, I just won cheap ass bottle of wine. It would not be terrible if it just got poured down the sink.
My God. Our brains are powerful things. They're just real, you know, it's tricky. I don't know why. I don't know why I justified that or like even like a little bit of like kids macaroni, like, oh, I don't want to let that go to waste. Like, who cares? And like, I didn't.
Like, I will just tell you, I think I know why we're all doing a little bit of that in hyperdrive right now is we're watching everybody hoard. And we're watching all this stuff go on. And I think that our human brain is very wired for scarcity. Like it senses danger. That's the way the brain is wired. And right now what's happening is all of our brains are a little bit in overdrive. If we were in a cave and this was happening, we would be storing meat or trying to figure out how to like go find more animals, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot, I'm not saying not everyone, but a good bit of us who are here tonight, all in all, everything's okay.
Right.
like our kids can't go to school, but they can go online. Like
yes, thank God for that.
After you know, like for most of us are just working from home.
Right.
I'm not saying everybody's situation's perfect, and I'm really not trying to dismiss those things. But on the whole, the people that are still in the membership, if they take a look around, not tons of things have changed other than some conveniences and the way that we like it done is just not available to us. And then our brain freaks out, and then all of our old conditioning comes up. So like if we have food issues, suddenly we don't want to waste anything. And suddenly we like, you know, like it, there's, I just want to say that because I don't think there's anything going wrong with anyone's brain. We just have to be aware of it. Don't judge yourself or don't be like, oh my God, I got to deal with all this again. It won't be as hard the second time. You're just onto it now. You caught yourself 7 pounds. And the good thing is that you've lost so much weight. One, you do it very well. Number two, you caught it early. And number three, it's easy for you to snap into the mindset of like, and this is what we're going to do. Like I'm surrounded by all the help I need.
Yes. Yes.
And you're out for a walk.
Yes. This is my escape. That's not a good thought, but it's my time. And then I saw the Zoom calls happening for moms. I'm like, oh, this is a sign. And then I totally saw, I didn't think it would be like a long line. And then here you go. But no, that thought helps me so much. And I just feel so grateful to have that thought because I keep comparing him to his older brother who is old enough to understand FaceTime and he can connect with his friends online. So he's getting that. He's super social, just like me, my 8-year-old. So he wants to be on with his friends. So he's getting that need fulfilled. And I just keep thinking about Ben that he's not getting that, you know, but I love the thought of that. He's getting something else. He's growing in another way that he couldn't have without this situation coming up. And so I should see it as sort of like a beautiful silver lining, you know?
Yeah. He's going to learn a lot about himself. And, you know, my Logan is not super social.
You
know?
Yeah.
By nature, not even by autism.
Yeah.
He's, you know, never going to be like me and want to be around people all the time. My husband isn't either. And sometimes like when they're not around people, I feel like something's wrong. And I'm like, oh, wait, they're actually happy.
Yeah.
It's me who worries like, because I think it should be this way. So just sometimes just look at him and just watch him. And if he's happy, let him be happy.
Yeah. That's super helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad.
Just enjoy your walk.
Thank you. I will. I'm going to keep listening.
Bye. Kathy Stone.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. So, awesome. I've never been coached by you. So this is
good. Have you been coached by one of the other coaches?
Yeah. Betsy and Kathy both,
be prepared to have your mind blown.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been listening to you for about a year and I joined in September. So I think I know what you're going to say. So I'm trying to prepare answers, but
no, just how about you do this? Why don't you just be Kathy?
Okay.
And let me be grin, and I think it'll go really well.
Okay. So it's funny, Marcy, I have such like similar situation to her because my son is 9 and my daughter is 4, almost 5. So same separation in years. And my daughter is deaf, so she has, you know, special needs. And, you know, they're both home from school. I'm required to work from home. My husband is not required to work from home, so he still has, but he does because he can manage it when he can, but sometimes he has to go into the office. Mm-hmm. And so today was one of those days I had to take off from work because he had to go in. So because of, you know, my daughter's so young, she can't really, she needs a constant playmate, right? So, you know, I really wish that my son could step into that role more, you know, to kind of occupy her a little bit.
There's a painful thought.
I know.
I wish that my son,
who's nine,
would be on a higher level.
Right.
It's the coronavirus. Could you just like emotionally mature yourself by 20 years real quick?
I know. And we do expect a lot out of him because he always has been like a more mature kid, you know, just out of his classmates in general. But so I guess the feeling, you know, when they don't get along, and I actually, back to Marcy, I did actually bake banana bread today because it was like, I need something to
make everybody throw their bananas away. Is it because bananas make you fat? It's because banana bread is not a natural way to eat that. But y'all just eat the banana.
I know. So anyway, so, you know, I'm needing them to, they just are really just fight a lot. And my daughter, and this is kind of like a stereotype about deaf people, that she's very stubborn because she has communication issues. I mean, she uses cochlear implants to hear. So her language is, you know, not totally to a four-year-old, but she's getting there. So she can be very controlling and very stubborn. And so she tries to control, you know, her brother. And so he doesn't want to play with her. And I just get these feelings of like extreme anger, you know, like I just wish they could get along, you know, that when they start fighting, it's just sort of like, just why don't you guys get along?
Well, that's like, and why is it so upsetting? Like, I think you think, well, I'll feel so much better if you guys would just get along.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I feel like, you know, I could do more around the house, you know, because I don't have to be her playmate all the time.
But do you have to be her playmate?
I mean, she's always coming in, right?
I'm asking you a trick question.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't need to always be her playmate, but you know how four-year-olds can be.
I'm asking you, you didn't get my trick question.
Okay.
The way you're thinking about it. You have several thoughts about your daughter. That's the problem. I have to play with her.
Yeah.
Rather than I choose to.
I choose to. Yeah.
Every single time you choose to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does I have to feel with her feel in your body? Like, when you think about that, how do you feel?
I mean, I have to play with her. I mean, I would, because I'd rather be doing other things. I mean, I do have to work from home.
I know, I do, but have like to in that moment, the house up. You think, well, now I have to play with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does it feel?
Feels like, I don't know. It feels like kind of tiring, you know?
Right.
You know?
That's why it's a bum-wide thought for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiring. It feels like obligation.
Obligation, yeah.
I'm not debating whether you should play with her or not. I'm just saying that if you're actually going to play with her, that you should do it from a place that allows you to not feel obligated and tired.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has you baking banana bread and all the other things.
Yes.
She's stubborn and controlling.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
how does that feel when you think about your daughter and you think, well, let me tell you about my child. She is stubborn and controlling and I have to play with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That sounds like not a fun day, you know?
Not at all.
No, you wouldn't want to spend a day with a person like that. You know,
there's nothing wrong. Like here's what I want to say. There's nothing wrong if you want to describe her at times as, you know, sometimes she can be stubborn and controlling, like when you're talking about it. But if you are feeling yourself angry and tired and wore out at the end of the day, the collection of ways that you're thinking about your daughter during the day are not helping you.
Right.
It's not helping you show up as a mom the way you want to show up for you. Does it look like you can keep playing with her? You can stop playing with her. You can do all those things, whatever you want to do. I just want you to start thinking about, like, if I'm going to be spending time with this child, and there are going to be times when I am going to choose to stop working to play with her. Do I want to be telling myself that I have to because she's so stubborn and controlling that she's like you know, her brother has been like, whatever's going on there? Or do I just want to say, like, I'm going to stop what I'm doing because that's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play with her, even if I would rather be working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes playing with her is not fun.
Right.
But that's normal. I'm like, how old are you?
Me? I'm 40.
Like, I'm 40. I probably am not going to have a ton of fun playing what a 4-year-old wants to play.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what moms do sometimes, especially mm-hmm. during times like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you see the difference between the way that I'm describing you just doing your life versus the way you're describing the way you're just doing your life? Like, we got the same Kathy sitting around with two kids yelling,
mm-hmm.
arguing,
mm-hmm.
and you having to stop work
mm-hmm.
and go play.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a circumstance now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for all the moms in here, because you guys will just, you're going to have your mom posse that you're going to tell your day to. And like, oh God, yeah, I know. My kid's an asshole too. And like, you know, why can't these 9-year-olds just figure out how to do a dishwasher? Like, they're all going to be like, preach.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get a lot of affirmation to feel like shit.
Yeah.
And then what will happen is you'll show up like an ass for you and them. And then you're going to be guilty. Like, well, just can't get my shit together during this coronavirus. Just turn me into a bad mother. Like, that's yeah. the cycle that we get into when we allow small little thoughts that are useless to be the way that we're just describing our day. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, I have to play with her because she's so controlling and stubborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he, yeah, and on top of it said that they don't get along because of the personality and...
What if it's they don't get along because they're a brother and sister with years?
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a damn that your daughter's deaf.
Yeah.
Like, we just got off the phone with another one, and these two kids, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be who in here has got two kids that are 2 years apart who are fighting like cats and dogs, and they ain't got a special need in the world. Their biggest special need is need to be separated right now.
Yeah, and there's a, of course, there's a lot of that. There's just fight, brother and sister style type of fighting, but.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were describing it as, like, especially in regards to your daughter,
mm-hmm.
if rather than describing it as, well, you know, she's got all these special things and it just makes it so much harder. Like, even that, how does that feel?
I mean, it doesn't, it's actually not, actually true. I don't think it's true. So much. I mean, she, you know, she is doing very well as far as a cochlear implant user.
Okay.
It
was just kind of the way you described it earlier. Like when you were kind of telling me about it, you gave me a lot of backstory as if that was one of the reasons why they're fighting so much.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, it's, you know, I've been trying to reconcile like why she has been so stubborn. I mean, she was really tough when she was three. Really, really tough.
What if you don't need to reconcile why she's stubborn?
Mm-hmm.
What if you just need to drop the idea that she's stubborn? But what's her name? Can we just call her April?
Yeah.
I have to reconcile why she, you know, like she's four. 4-year-olds are stubborn. I don't need to reconcile that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell me this. Tell me why solving for that's going to help you. Like if I just know why she's so stubborn.
I guess
I'm probably going to play in the floor with these Barbies with a smile on my face.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's sort of like people understand that she's maybe unusually stubborn. But that has a lot of judgment to it, that she's unusually stubborn.
Yeah.
Controlling.
Like, but like, tell me how it's ever going to, like, yours, like, and the other people now would be benefit from all this if I can just unearth this thing. It's like, these other people are going to benefit from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be like me walking into a room with Logan all the time and saying, before we even get started, he has autism.
Yeah.
Just in case he says something odd. I just would like everyone to know.
Right.
You know, the reason why I would do that is so that if for some reason he said something odd, I wouldn't feel so bad. I could also just let him say something odd and just choose not to feel bad about it and not need to justify it. Just like your daughter could be stubborn and you could just feel good about it and not have to justify it or comfortable with it or whatever, with whatever anybody thought about it.
Yeah. I think I still hold a lot of guilt as to why she has a disability as well. You know, there is some hearing loss in my family, but we never have any like genetic testing or anything like that for her. So I always, for a long time, I held a lot of guilt, you know, as to why she is that way.
Just watch how you're thinking about her. She's April. She's your daughter. She's four. She's like every four-year-old with a nine-year-old brother. Mm-hmm. Not getting along with them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think for you, it's like you can do some of your guilt work separate. And I think that would be very important work for you, because I think what it would do is it would take down a lot of your like needing to figure her out stuff rather than just treating her as like a four-year-old who happens to have a hearing disability.
Right.
It's like, I just tell you from personal experience, I spent probably a couple years early on with my coaching working on Logan and my guilt about his autism. I just was like, I just know it came from my side of the family and just all this other stuff. And I had my mentor, she sat me down one day and she just talked to me about it. And she said, tell me how figuring out how all this started will ever benefit you. Will you really have peace if you know it's your fault? Mm-hmm. Will you really have peace if you know it's Chris's fault? Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I was like, well, no. And she said, then stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And literally had to stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's for you, like the same with you or not, but
I mean, I think it was like that for me for a long time, you know, for like, especially when she was an infant, you know, and all the challenges and the surgeries we had to do and the rehab.
Yeah.
Therapy and everything like that. So
rather than feeling all guilty and stuff, sometimes just tell yourself, like, I have been there 100% for this child and I will for the rest of my life. You can always be telling that story over and over again rather than a guilty one. Because it's true, right? I mean, you're 100% there for her now. Even when she's
having
a mask.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we do.
It's like, hell, I play with you. And you're acting like an ass.
Yeah. Okay. I think I need to listen to this again.
We covered a lot. We covered probably a little bit too much. So just listen to it a couple times. Yeah. You didn't get anything out of it. The two main things for you is just watching, like the way that you just casually describe what's going on right now. Like the reasons why it's hard at home right now is because she's stubborn. And the reasons why it's hard right now, you know, it's because, you know, I forget what the first one was. It was like, she was controlling and stubborn. And then there was like this other thing.
Oh, they're just fighting. Yeah. I have to play with her. Yeah. Because I'm not expecting my son to be like, we totally say this to him too. Terrible. Be the babysitter right now. Don't be the nine-year-old. It's like, that's such a terrible thing. Really.
Don't judge yourself for that. There's nothing terrible about that. You need to not judge yourself for that.
Yeah.
You need to say, like, sometimes we say that, and you just need to decide, do I want to keep saying that or not? Is it so bad, or is it only so bad because I'm judging myself? I'm going to tell you, I was the babysitter of a little brother. He was 21 months younger than me from the time that I was five. We were staying home by ourselves when I was five.
Yeah.
Mama was a single mom in the center. Sure. You could get away with anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was always the babysitter and I turned out pretty fucking good. Mm-hmm. You know what I learned? How to be responsible. I learned how to take no shit off a man. I learned a lot of amazing things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, just go through the things that you say. Like, I think you got to do the same thing with that you did that I gave the other, I forget the first caller. Make a mm-hmm. list every day when you first do your thought work.
Yeah. I actually wrote that down.
Do that one thing. Just tell yourself, I don't have to do anything. Everything that I'm doing every single day, I'm choosing to. And sometimes I choose to do things I don't even like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a very different energy to go play with your child when you don't want to, when you just tell yourself, I'm choosing to, even when I don't like to do it. There's mm-hmm. just like, sometimes we eat that damn salad even when we don't want to.
Right.
We don't say we have to. It's just like, no, today's salad. We got goals and we just won't like it right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's do one more. Kathleen, let's grab you. This is a record. Everybody that raised their hand got called on. I'm so proud of myself. This hasn't happened since we had like 600 members. Oh. Kathleen, are you there?
I'm trying to get on.
Oh, you're good. I got you now.
Okay. Start my video.
There you go.
Okay, so I'm so excited to be on, but I have to tell everyone I just put some banana muffins in the oven as I've been talking to you.
Banana bread?
Yeah, little itty bitty ones.
What? All right, I have never made banana bread a day in my life. I've had every mom saying I just made banana bread.
Oh my gosh, that is so, so funny. Well, this is my first time being coached by you, and actually it's my second time being coached. And I started in September, but was for a long time. And I think, you know what, I've got an interesting, I don't know, I guess I think it's interesting, but.
Wait a minute, your thing is clicking a little bit. You do know the rule not to be walking around, correct?
I'm trying to get somewhere where the kids won't be able to hear me. So let me, yeah, can you, is the basement okay, Corinne, or should I go somewhere else? Is this okay?
That'll be fine, yeah. It's just the thing's clicking as you're walking.
Okay, so here, I'll put the lights on in the basement. So I have a 14-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter who just got diagnosed with ASD 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And an 8-year-old daughter. Okay. And we're all home. My husband is home in our bedroom. I don't know how he does it, working on calls a lot. And I'm home as well. And I, the first 2 weeks, was really mad at my job and mad that they wanted me to do work from home because I've got these three kids and no supports, right? Well, now my job has told me, like, your sanity is the most important, your family, and then your job, which I think is great. So now, I only did like 45 minutes of work today. So now I'm feeling guilty on the other side of, am I, you know, not doing enough work? And then on that same token, I just, like, at 2 o'clock, like, they've been on devices since 2 o'clock.
Can I ask you, I'm sorry, you're clicking really bad. Can you take your earbuds out and let's try it without earbuds?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's way better. I don't know what was going on with your earbuds, but it was just like clicking and I was having a hard time hearing you, but go ahead.
Yeah, so totally fine.
Feeling bad about working 45 minutes and angry about having to do your job.
Well, I was doing more or faking it more the first few weeks or on a call with my boss who's single, has no kids, climbed the corporate ladder and just is so serious about everything. And I'm like, we've got other stuff to, you know, I'm sorry, I'm shaking it. I guess I've had the feelings about how can we continue on as normal when all of this is happening. And yes, I know a job is important. I need my paycheck. Thankfully, I don't have to go out and work outside to try to get money for my family right now. So I'm
Let me ask you this. Very, how can you continue on normal while all the stuff's going on outside of us?
Yeah. How can we? The best we can. I don't know, but I guess I was mad that my boss.
You do know how to do that.
We do? What do you mean? Just try? Do it?
We clean up our mind that the things that we're doing have nothing to do with that. Like, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm sitting at home, washing my hands, staying home, working. I'm not thinking about, like, oh my God, we can't do anything normally. You know what's going on in the world, don't you?
I guess where I was.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess where I was stuck is that, like, this was my thought, and I was talking to my accountability partner. Is like, my work has no, they have no responsibility or nothing to do with me choosing to have three kids. But normally, when I said yes to taking this full-time job, I have them going to school. I have them in activities outside of the house. I have my in-laws helping out. And we have a cleaning lady. Every single support that I just listed is not there anymore for me. So I'm like, what the hell? How can I still do any? So then I just break down and don't want to do, it's almost like breaking down and not want to do the basics. Don't want to even do any of my job because F them, this is ridiculous. And I know they had nothing to do with choosing my life situation, but I just crawl up in a ball, you know?
But you're making it so dramatic. You want to work or not? It sounds like you have the option.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, my daughter, we got her a phone the last week. She's on FaceTime with her friend after school for 2-3 hours. They play video games. I just, my expectations of things are just changed. I mean, we do go out and exercise some, but so I guess, but I'm, it's just so different, but it's okay to be different, but I can't be that rah, rah, rah and get everything done for work. Nor, I mean, I'm in medical research fundraising. People,
why do you think you can't be rah, rah, rah and get everything? You know, rah, rah, rah just happens on the action line.
I am so sorry. I just have to take my banana bread muffins out. I'm so sorry because I didn't think I'd get on this call.
I will turn my back so I don't throw up on the desk.
Rah, okay, rah, and then I'll stand up in the kitchen. I won't go back down there. But what do you mean is on the action line? Rah, okay, rah, rah, rah.
Rah, 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 rah. Everything done is an action driven by what?
My thought.
Yeah. So if you actually wanted to be rah, 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 get everything done, you would just need a thought change. You are saying that just can't happen. It can't
yes.
happen. I just need you to like open your mind up to the idea. You could think differently if you wanted to. You just have to decide, do you want to think differently or do you want to think like you're thinking right now, which is, I got a boss who's single. Like your whole description of that was like, and he obviously doesn't get it.
She, it's a woman, but yes, yes,
or
yeah.
She, whoever.
Yeah.
There's definitely stuff to clean up there. Like, okay. How does that have anything to do? It's like, am I going to work today or not? Does that have anything to do with her life situation? Like noticing where your brain
okay.
wants to make drama around your decision about how you show up for you. Like if you
well, I guess,
said, I have a boss.
Yeah.
Here are my tasks. Do I want to do them or not?
I mean, to be honest with you, the only reason, Henry, I'm on a call. Please step away. Henry, step away.
I'm on a call.
The only reason why I want to not do my, what I would do my task is to keep my job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think my family's
yeah,
more important.
Well, that's a very valid reason. So rather than saying I'm going to do my task because I like my, I'd like to keep my job.
Okay.
Rather than it's, they have unreasonable expectations the first couple of weeks.
Okay.
Like, that's not a helpful thought for you.
No, no.
Because if you're going to do if you're going to do what they want you to do because you want to get the money and take the job, it's a thought that just hoses you.
Yeah.
It's like you are going to show up and take the money and do the work. Let's at least think like this is, they're just asking me to do my job.
Yeah. Well, and then the other layer, I mean, you're going to, I am all over the place with this is like, so April 6th to the 10th is a spring break, right? And I had those days off. And then I thought, well, why would I take those days off if I can just work from home in the morning? I don't have to be with the kids for their school and just, you know, fake it. Not fake it, but you know what I mean? Not, why would I take off a full week's work when I'm not working a full week's? You know what I'm saying? So then I'm like, well, do I take it off or do I not?
All right, tell me what your answer is. What do you want to do? Do you want to be off or do you want to be at work?
Well, I'd be at work in the basement for like 3 or 4 hours, and I think I could handle that, not having to homeschool my kids, and then I would get 5 days off when all this settles down. You know,
that
then
sounds
I'm
like an amazing option. So, what's the problem?
Am I taking advantage of my work if I just?
Well, are you?
I don't know. I mean,
well, what's your thought about it? Like, I'm really going to get one over on them. They're going to get screwed.
No, my thought about it.
Go ahead.
my thought about it is that some days I go to my office, I work with the people I work with, not in my department, but I quote unquote clients and physicians that I work with. And my department knows nothing of what I do. So I could work all day long hard, or I could work for an hour hard. So
let me ask you this. I think I know what the problem is.
Okay.
Do they pay you for your hours, or do they pay you for your results?
My results. Well, so, okay.
What if we just quit thinking about hours for just a minute? Can't use that as an argument anymore, because you keep coming back to, but I only do 45 minutes, and then I only do five, but I only do four, and then I do eight, and then I do, it doesn't matter. Your boss is like, get this shit done.
Yeah.
I just want it done, and I want it done well. How about that? You just get it done well, because I think that's where you're kind of hosing yourself. Okay. Is you keep trying to trade hours rather than knowing, like, this is what I really give them value. Yeah.
So, Corinne, what I haven't told you is that I'm the only person in my office. For some reason, when I took the job 5 years ago, I said, can I work 7:30 to 3? And most people work like the typical 9 to 5. But that being said, it's a university. We're a nonprofit. People come in at 10 sometimes.
Tell me why this even matters. I'm anxious to hear this, because I don't know how it ties to the value discussion.
Because I feel like, and so in the last year, I've been fundraising. I blew my numbers, like raised $7.1 million, had a great year, even though I got lucky on $4 million. Like $3.1 million was...
No, you didn't. 100%
over. Let's clean
that up. Don't say I got lucky. If you got 4 million, just say I got 4 million. You don't need to like justify.
I got 4 million.
All right. Yeah. So we're going
to So I raised 7.1 million and my goal was 1.5 million, and even working on my flex hours. And so
I know somebody who could probably work half the time you do and still ball cash for them all day.
I could. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. It's not the hours, but then I think as a thought, as I saying this, is what other people think of me. And then I didn't get promoted this year, and everyone came up to me, I can't believe you didn't get promoted.
Yeah. You need to clean up your thoughts about what other people are going to think.
Okay.
I don't think right now you even think really highly of yourself, because you're very dismissive about all of it. And I think you need to do a little work on yourself. Like, I got lucky, rather than I'm a really good fundraiser. My goal was 1.5 and I ended up with 7, and I work a flex schedule. Who the fuck does that? Me. Like, you could describe it that way, or you could describe it your way, which is sad. Like, I just got lucky. But let me tell you the other way it's going to go downhill. Like, I know you keep giving me amazing thoughts, but I've got this, but let me tell you what happened here. Like, let me argue for why I'm not good enough. Let me argue for how I'm doing it wrong. Let me argue for why this is wrong, rather than arguing for what you want.
Okay.
Do you want to take off? You're welcome. It's like, decide. You want to take off for spring break or not? And if you want to, you do it, because you do such
a good job. I don't know. I'll think about it.
If I was you, this would be my thing.
Okay.
Work, if you want to work, no matter, like, in just a few hours or whatever, and I would just do it because I want to be working. Or I would take the time off and say, I'm going to double down on working on myself. This spring break is all about me figuring me out. But you choose because it's what you want, not because you're afraid of what other people will think. You need to really make it from what Kathleen actually wants to do.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you. You work on yourself, if I made you cry with that.
Thank you so much, Corinne. And and I need to figure out ASD too. There's just so many things. So I think I want to take spring break off just to be able to do my stuff and not have the worry of, am I doing enough work to justify the day of work?
Yeah. Well, be real careful with that. Like, you don't have to take off to let go of the worry. And the justification. Okay. Remember, worry and all of that's on your thought line. You get to like let go of that because you want to. Like, you literally can go to work and start learning how to not justify your time, and start learning how to not defend yourself to like the what you think other people are thinking about you. You get to start, like, going to work is a really good exercise for you to start stepping into who you want to be for yourself and noticing when you're allowing yourself to think about what other people might be thinking. Like, I would just be like, yeah, I'm Kathy. You know what I do? I work a flex schedule. And sometimes I even half-ass that one. I'm good at making money. Like, I make so much money for you guys that if I want to come in for 30 minutes a day, I probably could do it.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to the level of where you're just like thinking like that, show up for your life in a whole different way. But that's just going to start with you like thinking more about how you're doing things right. And so like describe your life now and then go there and highlight all the things that are like, that's a little dismissive, or like look for the little ones, like, and I got lucky.
Okay. You know, Corinne, I think what it is this boss that I've had for a year as a whippersnapper and came in, and I know I was doing good even before because I had a year of not having a boss. I had to do everything that she now does with me. But she's and my two other colleagues say that that's her MO is to point out how we do things wrong. That's her management style. And so this whole past year, I didn't get the promotion last year. And so this whole past year, I've been trying to prove that I'm worthy for this promotion when, I mean, I know I'm good and I'm a smart lady. And I like, and it's just like, she's always, well, you should have been this, or don't send an email to that person. That was too administrative. Have the assistant. You know, like little things that are just judgment calls. And I talked to my accountability partner about this too. It's judgment calls. It doesn't mean I'm not deserving of a promotion, even if I work a flex time.
I'm afraid what happens is you're tying your feelings of you being worthy to the promotion rather than tying your feelings of worthy to how you think about yourself.
Okay.
Every time she gives you, like the promotion, whether you get it or not, doesn't make you more worthy as a person. You're just worthy now.
Yeah.
And you get to decide that because you're just like, I'm really good at what I do. Even if she tells me my mistakes, I know I'm still really good at what I do. She's just pointing out mistakes. That's just the way she manages. And I'll fix that stuff because I'm so good at what I do. I can fix those things. I manage like her. Ask anybody on my team. I always tell them up front. I'm going to tell you, like, 99 out of 100 times the things that you're doing wrong so that we can grow fast. And I don't mean the business. I mean as people. Like, okay. They don't need me to tell them they're doing it right. You know why? Because I know each one of them is capable of telling themselves all the things that they're doing right. Your boss probably wants you to be the one responsible for your own feelings and emotions, your own worthiness and stuff. She doesn't really want that job. You know what she wants the job of? Telling you how to do the things so you all can make more money.
Yeah.
That's what she signed up for. She didn't sign up to be your cheerleader on your bad day.
That's true.
Yeah. And I mean, I tell my people every now and then they do a good job, but you know, I like to hold out. I like to make it feel like we're fasting on all that stuff. I like to keep them hangry for it. No, but it's true. It's like, I want you to think about this from just another perspective. I don't know if that's in her mind, but I will tell you what's always in my mind. The more I allow my team to tell themselves and learn how to tell themselves how amazing they are, they get to experience that. If I don't let them do it and they always rely on me to be the one making them feel amazing and waiting for me to tell them something, I got to have a perfect day every day. And I am not a perfect person.
Yeah.
That's very helpful for all of you who have a boss, is to be like, you know what? I don't want them in charge of my emotions anymore. I want to be in charge of them.
I agree. I think I was at a better place, but when I wanted a promotion, then I would take every little thing she said and, you know, that would be so important, but yeah. I'm going to listen to this again. Yeah.
Yeah. Just you make it mean every time she gives you feedback now, every time she tells you do something wrong, say, and this is another chance I get to work on my worthiness for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Corinne.
Enjoy your banana bread.
Okay. It might have burned, but I don't care because this is what's more important than banana bread. So thank you so much. I'm so happy I got on.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So like literally everybody made banana bread. The chat blew up about banana bread. I've never made, but it's not that I have anything against it, but I've never made it. I don't think y'all would even want me to. It would be terrible. You know, there is a recipe if you go on Pinterest, for all of you who have this banana issue, there's a recipe for making pancakes with just eggs and bananas. And it, like, I think I did it like a couple years ago. It was really good. So anyway, just another option for your bananas. I have 6th and 7th grade boys and find we are spending more time apart than together. Every time I come up with an idea to eat or work out together, I get pushback. Yeah, they're, whoo, Amy, like, let's just go back in time. When I was in the 6th and 7th grade, this was like, you know, back in the Stone Ages, practically, I think 86 around that time, I didn't want to be with my mother either. And I was a girl and I did not want to spend time with her. And I didn't even have devices. Kids at that age, like everybody just think about it. It's like the reason why you like do this. The reason why I want them to spend time with me is because I will feel what? Make sure that you're like, I'm just going to keep offering it and keep offering it and keep offering it because I love them. And I'm going to love them even if they don't want to spend time with me, rather than being like, you know, they should want to spend time with me or something's going wrong. It's like they're 6th and 7th grade boys. I am for sure that they are into girls or something right now. Like, just think about what they could also, like, it's not about you. I'm not saying you're making it about you, but a lot of us make it about us or make it that we're not a good family if we're not doing all the things. I think everybody right now just has to, like, realize, like, what is a good family? Like, that would be a really good exercise for you guys to do. Like, right, what's a good family like? What do they do? Do they make each other spend time together and play games? Or are they there for each other? Do they sometimes give each other space? Sometimes a good family get upset with each other but still love each other at the end of the day. Like, really think about, for some of you, you know, this idealized version of what you have going on in your head as to what this time should be like. I think one of the like whiplash moments that we're all having is that for all of us who are at home, we suddenly think like, well, we've never got this opportunity to actually all be together. Don't create this image in your head of what it should be. Decide on purpose how it's just going to be. It's going to be filled with love. It's going to be filled with compassion, understanding, a lot of patience. Sometimes we're going to get on each other's nerves and stuff. I think that might be normal. And we're all going to get through it. I can't wait for all of us in 10 years to be having like Thanksgiving dinners and Christmases and everybody rolling around laughing about how, remember when we all had to like spend that 6 weeks together because of the coronavirus and you did this and you did that. I swear we will all be laughing about this one day. We always do. So allow all the laughing moments to come up without judging it and trying to force it, guys. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.